very good morning. A very good morning. It is nice to be here.
Amen.
It is nice to be here. And it is nice to be with you. My title of the message today is The Final Act of Nehemiah. The Final Act of Nehemiah. I am concluding our series of the book of Nehemiah. Can I say, fortunate enough, I'm not going to be reading a list of names. I'm just going to be concluding. And the conclusion is, God is wonderful. God is so wonderful. When I had prepared the sermon, and then last night, God had this light bulb that he just blew into my mind. And I looked at it and said, God, I didn't see this scripture this way. And that is what I'm going to share with you this morning. What God shared with me last night. And what I'd prepared, and God just brought this light bulb in. When I looked at it, I said, oh, things are falling into place. I entitled the message initially, I say, commitment to God. Commitment to God. And by the end of the message, I would want you to be committed to God. Okay, in the year 538 BC, 538 BC, this is the first batch or the group of the Jews that were led by Zerubbabel back to Jerusalem. So there were three batches or three groups of Jews returning to Jerusalem. So the first group led by Zerubbabel, 538 BC, were led. And then the second group, Ezra, in 458 BC, 8 years later. Then the second group, led by the prophet, the priest Ezra, returned to Jerusalem. And then finally, the third group in 445 BC, that is 13 years later. This is when now Nehemiah went with the final group or the third group back to Jerusalem and the building of the wall. Now we are in chapter 13, the final act. Chapter 13, the final act. There are three things that do happen that disappoint Nehemiah. Three main things that happened that disappointed Nehemiah. My message is on those three things that disappointed Nehemiah. And normally when you look in the Old Testament is a foretelling of what is to come in the New Testament. So when you read the Old Testament, it is the background to the New Testament. The Old Testament is a foretelling either in terms of figurative language or in terms of acts of what is to happen later on. What do I mean? For example, when you read the Old Testament in the Genesis, when the devil misled men and men fell, and in Genesis chapter 2, when God says to the devil, Satan, what you have done, the seed of the woman will bruise your head. That was a foretelling of the Easter, where we see Jesus, who is the seed of the woman, the seed of Mary, coming in, bruising the devil, and killed him. It was a foretelling of the Old Testament to the New Testament. If you read in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, in captivity. And then there was the decree to say, please, the first, take a lamp and put blood on the doorsteps. When the angel of death comes, the Passover, the first bones will be killed. But wherever there is blood on the doorstep, the angel of death will pass. That was the Passover. And that was the foretelling of the sacrifice of Christ. The death of Jesus on the cross was foretold in the Old Testament through the act of the Passover. Now I am coming today to this scripture on Nehemiah. What is being foretold here in Nehemiah? The three things that do happen. It is the structure of a man. I hope by the end of the sermon you will be able to see how God just revealed this to me. Man is made of three things. There is the first part, the spirit of the man, the heart. The spirit of the man, which is the heart, which is right inside my heart, my spirit. That which we point at, I always have this analogy or example I always say. When someone points at you and say, you, yes, come here. You, I'm referring to you, come here. Where do you point to identify yourself? Do you say me? Do you say me? Do you say me? You say me. Where are you pointing? Where are you pointing? You don't point here. You point here. Where are you pointing? And if I ask you, where are you pointing? You are saying, I'm pointing at my heart. Is this where your heart is? Is this where your heart is? No. But when you are asked, where are you pointing? You say, it's me. Is it me? Where are you pointing? I'm pointing at my heart. But that's not where your heart is. Your heart is on the left here. Are we together? Yes. Your heart is here, but you don't point here. But you point at the center and you say, I'm pointing at my heart. Yes, that's where you are. The heart is not the pump. This is what is on the left is a pumping machine. It's a pump. That's not the heart. The heart is here, the spirit of man. So man is made of three things. There is the heart. And outside the heart, we have the soul. Are we together? The soul, the emotions, the feelings, your soul. There's the heart, which is the spirit, and then there is the soul. And then outside the soul, we have the body. The mind, the body, the physique. That's why when Jesus was asked, what is the first greatest commandment in the Bible? And Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment in the Bible is, love your God with all your heart. Love your God with all your soul. Love your God with all your mind. And love your God with all your strength. Man is made of three things. The heart, which is the spirit, the soul, and the mind, or the body. Nehemiah, when he came back, he was disappointed because of three things. He was disappointed because of three things. And these three things are an analogy of how we disappoint God. We disappoint God from our heart. We disappoint God from our soul. We disappoint God from our body, the mind. How are we going to see this? Let's go back to our story. Let's go back to our story. The first disappointment, Nehemiah. Chapter 13, verse 28, Nehemiah 13, on the verse 28. When Nehemiah comes back, people have backslidden. People have backslidden. They had gone back. The backsliding, what has happened now? Nehemiah chapter 13. The high priest Eliashib, what does he do? He is the keeper of the storehouse. What is the storehouse? The storehouse is the place where the things of God are kept. The storehouse is the heart of the church. The storehouse is where the tithes are kept. The storehouse is where the wealthy of the synagogue, the wealthy of the church is kept. The storehouse. Why is the high priest responsible for the storehouse? Because it represents the seat of God, the storehouse. It is the center of the church. It is the meaning of the church, the storehouse. Eliashib, the high priest, was responsible for that storehouse. Are you together with me? Are you together with me? So he was responsible for the storehouse. And being responsible for the storehouse, it was the representative of the presence of the God of Israel among the Jews, the storehouse. Man is made of three sets. We have the spirit. That is the seat of God. Your heart is the seat of God. If you mess up with that heart, you backslide first from the heart. The high priest Eliashib, Nehemiah comes back. He's disappointed. What has happened? What has happened? Then Eliashib, what does he do? Now he is compromised. He is compromised. How is Eliashib compromised? His son or grandson is married to a foreign woman, Sanballat's daughter. His grandson is married. This is the high priest. The son of the high, the grandson of the high priest is married to a daughter-in-law from the enemy, from another tribe, which was against the word of God. Are you following me? And now, Tobiah, who is a close friend of Sanballat, who is the father-in-law to the grandson of the high priest, therefore, he leases the room of the storehouse to the enemy. And the enemy goes and sits in the center of the heart of the church, the heart of God. The fall has begun. The backslide has begun. Eliashib, the high priest. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. The moment you lose sight, you lose guard of heart, of keeping your heart from the evil one. That is the first part of a backsliding. Eliashib compromised. The house of the Lord is desecrated. When Nehemiah comes, what does he do? Nehemiah is a man of action. He is a man of action, committed to his God. Nehemiah is committed to his God. When he comes back, he came first of all with a batch, and he rebuilt the wall in 52 days, committed to God. And he stayed in Jerusalem for 12 years, and then left Jerusalem and went back to Babylon. The Bible says, or the findings are, he stayed in Babylon for about a year or over a year, somewhere there. When he comes back, that is when he discovers the children of Israel have backslidden. The house of the Lord is desecrated. And one fall leads into the other. One fall leads into the other. And I'll tell you, it is a fall of man at three levels. The first fall of man is your spirit, the inner man, your heart. In this example, the analogy here, Nehemiah comes back. What does he see? He sees Eliashib has given over the temple, the storehouse where God sits, to the enemy. Let's go to the second one. So, this is where the offerings are kept. This is where the tithes are kept. This is where the wealth of the children of Israel are kept. Now that our storehouse is not there. The next thing. What happens the next time? Because the house of the Lord, where God sits, is not there anymore. The Levites, the priests that are responsible for keeping the house of the Lord, that are responsible for the rites, that are responsible for ministering to the people. Because now the storehouse where God sits, where the offerings are supposed to be, where the wealth is supposed to be, that which was used to look after the Levites, That house is no more there. I've said, the first thing that got desecrated is the house of the Lord, where God sits. Then the next thing, the priests, the soul of the church, the soul, the workers, that makes things happen in the church. The priests. Now, because the storehouse is not there, the levers are not able to be looked after. The money is no longer there to give them tithes. The money is no longer there for the Levites to live on. The money is no longer there for the Levites to be looked after. And what do the Levites do? They abandon the church. They abandon the tabernacle. They leave the job that they were supposed to be doing, and they go back to the field to work so that they can survive. And now the priests are no longer in the church. That is the second part of the fall. The first part of the soul, when you desecrate your heart, when you don't guard your heart against evil, you allow evil to come into your heart. The next thing is your soul suffers. The Levites abandon the church. They leave to go and do their own things, to look after themselves. Now, because the Levites are no longer there, the temple is not being looked after. So the temple is also neglected. The temple is neglected. No one is coming to worship. No one is coming to have the service of the Levites, because the Levites are out having to work in the fields for themselves. Nehemiah comes back and sees the Levites are not there. The man of action, what does Nehemiah do? He calls the elders and says, what are you doing? He brings back the Levites. He restores the culture of the tithes, that things must be paid into the house of the Lord. Are you following me? The first part, he comes, the storehouse has been taken over. What does Nehemiah do? He restores, and the Bible says, if you read it, he kicks out Tobiah out of the storehouse. He kicks out Tobiah out of the storehouse and threw out all his goods. And what does he do? He says, consecrate. He purifies the inner house where the Lord's place is. He purifies the heart. After he has purified the heart, he brings back the Levites to minister to the heart now. The heart has been purified. The Levites, which is the soul of the church, they are brought back, because now the portion that is apportioned to them, it can be given to them. Now the Levites are back. Are we together? Now the third part. Now the third part. That it disappoints Nehemiah. The Israelites, they've forgotten about the Sabbath day. The third part, the mind now. The Sabbath is a decision you make in your mind to say, I am keeping a holiday for the Lord. Are we together? Now, can you see the four in stages, how it goes? The first four is the inner man. The second four is the soul. The third four is the body, the mind, the decision maker. The children of Israel have gone back to working on Saturday, on the Sabbath. They have gone back to trading on Saturday. People would bring their wares to the church. Then they could sell. And Saturday is no longer being observed. And what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah comes back and he restores the dignity of the Sabbath. And he tells them, what are you doing, the Israelites? You must obey the Sabbath. From the sunset of Friday to the sunset of Saturday, there ought to be no work done. So Nehemiah, he restores the dignity of the Sabbath. Those are the three things that do happen that breaks down Nehemiah from what has happened. How do I now bring it to you? I've already brought it to you in three ways, and I've said, first and foremost, is the final act of Nehemiah. The final act of Nehemiah is the restoration of man to God's will. Nehemiah's vision was the Nehemiah's vision. See Jerusalem, where people, God's people are worshiping God. In the security of a Jerusalem that has a wall. That was his vision. If you read from Nehemiah chapter 1. And he prayed, God, send me. And he had the vision. He laid, the vision was laid on his heart. And then he stands and goes back to Jerusalem. He rebuilds the wall. And then he restores, definitely. Jehovah is now being worshipped. If you read from Nehemiah 12, the laws have been read. Jerusalem has been restored. The worship has been there. Nehemiah goes away. He comes back only to discover people have backslidden. Where have you backslidden? Where have you backslidden? Are you as committed as you were when you loved God first? Are you at that level where you cry to the Lord and say, God, touch my heart? If you read in Romans chapter 13, 8, it says, he is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forever. The Lord does not change. The same God of miracles. He is the same God today. So what is happening? Where are the miracles? Where is this God of power? Why is he not manifesting in our lives today? What has changed? It is not God who has changed. No. It's your heart. Go back to that commitment. That first commitment. In Revelation, it says, oh, one thing, the church of Laodicea, what I am against you. You are neither hot, neither are you cold. You are lukewarm. Go back to your first love. Go back to your first love. Let me end by these three things. Number one. Commitment, the first commitment. What is it that you need to throw out into your life? What is it that you need to throw out? Things that you need to throw out in your life. Things that are separating you from God. Things that are not bringing you back into the realm of God's will. Nehemiah, when he comes back, he realized people he have backslidden. Eliashib have put in an enemy in his heart. He had to throw out Tobiah. And all his goods. You know what you need to throw out into your life. Where have you backslidden? Sometimes, it is just neglect of God's temple. Number two, neglect of God's temple. When God is out of the heart, the next thing is this temple, the body of the Holy Spirit, is neglected. Either now you are more into drug abuse. You are trying to fill the void of God who is no longer there. Because there is a hole in there. Why? Because the Lord is not there anymore. So there is a hole. And now you need to fill that hole. Who fills that hole? Tobiah, the enemy, comes in. This is Nehemiah. He says, now restore. Restore God into your life. Restore. So what is it that you need to throw out that needs to be taken out of your life? Second, what is it that you need to restore? What is it that you need to restore? First, you need to throw out things that takes God out of your life. Second, you need to restore the Levites back. Nehemiah threw out Tobiah, and he restored the Levites back into the church. There are things that you need to restore in your life. Your commitment. You are a father. You are a husband. Love your wives. Love your husband. There are things that you need to restore. There are times when you need to say, I am sorry for a relationship to go on. There are things that you need to recommit yourself to for a relationship to go on. What is it that you need to restore? Number three, what is it that you need to maintain and focus on? The Sabbath, it's a day set aside. I'm not saying go and observe the Sabbath, no. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in your life, you need to be committed to a day or to a time where you give your life to God in prayer. How many times do you go before God in prayer? Or prayer is more like a ritual. Coming to church, oh, by the way, today is Sunday. Let me go to church. Oh, today is Sunday. I need to meet my friends in church. It's not an issue of going to church to be transformed, going to church to be encouraged. They say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you come to church because you know, I'm going to be changed, I'm going to be transformed, I'm going to meet God, I'm going to be encouraged. The purpose of the church, this word did not just come like a word. It came in power to change and to transform. So when you come into church and you go back the same, the church has failed the purpose it is made for. The church is supposed to change you, to transform you, to encourage you, so that when you go back home, you say, yes, I heard the message. It made a change in my life. What is it that you need to recommit yourself and focus on? Nehemiah, the final act of Nehemiah. Oh, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. What is it that you want the Lord to remember you for? Commitment to his holiness. The Bible says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. And when the Holy Spirit comes from within, he makes you holy from within. He brings remembrance of scripture from within. And he makes you what he wants you to be. This word did not come just like a word. It came in power to change and to transform. The Lord is still working miracles today. The Lord is still working wonders today. If only you can change and restore what needs to be restored. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father, we want to come before you. And we want to thank you that let the commitment of Nehemiah to this God, who can restore, who can put things back into their respective places, may he put back, God, your spirit in our hearts, so that, Father, dear God, this final act of Nehemiah, remember us, that Jesus, we are your children, and restore us to that relationship that makes us your own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing that word for us. There's a lot to digest in there, so I just suggest